So in module two, I want to talk to you about what the benefits of touchscreen devices are. I'm going to outline four of the main benefits of why these devices offer new and improved ways for children to learn. And then I'm going to give you some practical tips about how you can ensure that your child actually benefits from using the iPad. And we're going to finish off this module with why you need to be careful of broccoli. As parents, that's the dreaded vegetable that none of our children will consume. And we all know our kids are great broccoli detectors. So at the end of this module, I'm going to tell you why we need to be really careful of chocolate-covered broccoli. So when it comes to apps, there are four main benefits. Apps let children create, consume, communicate, and collaborate in new ways. Now, of course, there are the apps that are basically what I call digital replicas or digital worksheets. And so these are more or less a digital reincarnation of a more traditional toy or a more traditional learning experience. So overwhelmingly, there are lots and lots of apps that are really just replicas of an exercise book or a textbook. And that's not what we're looking at here. We're looking at what's the value add? What is the app or the technology allowing children to do that they wouldn't otherwise be able to do? So we're going to look through these lens of these four main things that apps afford for young children's learning and development. So let's look first of all at consumption. Now, I'm going to say at the beginning that we need to use consumption apps sparingly. These are not necessarily bad, they're not necessarily toxic or taboo, but we want to make sure that we place firm limits about how often children are consuming. Now, the iPad, it can be a great tool for children to consume information, but we have to be careful this is not the only thing that they do with iPads. It's very easy for children to want to spend large amounts of time consuming YouTube clips or consuming television shows. And this is a very passive use of the technology. Now, a little bit every now and then, remember Warren Buckleitner's quote, the fertilizer analogy, a little bit every now and then is fine, but if this is the only thing our children are doing with the iPad, this is not ideal or effective use of the technology. So when it comes to consumption, you're using the iPad for children to consume information, we need to look at how it's adding value. And so I'm going to give you a couple of examples here. Remember, if you want to find out more about where and how you can access these apps, make sure you download the app list that comes with this digital workshop as well. So the app that comes free with your iPad or your iOS device is iBooks. And iBooks is a great way for children to read online information. So they're still consuming, they're basically reading a book, but what can they do with this app that they can't do with a traditional book? Well, they've got a built-in dictionary, they can highlight words, they can make annotations, so they can write note cards to provide notes further on down the track. They can dim the brightness and change the size of the font and the type of font as well. So it's really providing a personalized way of consuming information. Now, again, I mentioned this before in the last module, this doesn't mean children don't read real books, but this is where the iPad is performing new ways for children to consume data. For young children, book apps, as I mentioned before, can be a great way for children to use the iPad. They provide language-rich experiences and they often provide a more engaging, interactive, dynamic way of reading books. And in this instance here, the wrong book. And a quick tip here, when you find an app that you like, check who the developer is, and chances are that they've made other quality apps as well. So in this instance, this is made by an Australian developer called Wheelbarrow Books, and Wheelbarrow Books have made some other fantastic apps. So once you've found some app developers you like, start to look for some of their other offerings, because chances are they make other high quality apps as well. So using this particular app, the child can either have the story read to them, or they can elect to turn the narration off and read it to themselves. But the real power of this story is that it actually has a voice recording function. So the child or the parent or perhaps both of you together can actually record and narrate the story yourself. This is a fantastic option for those children who are learning about expression and intonation. It's great sometimes for parents who have to travel for work and can't be there, but they could record their voice in advance. So we need to look again, remember, look for apps with simple design, especially with book apps. And a totally different way of reading. This is a much more interactive, engaging, multimedia way for children to read as compared to the traditional book. I mentioned before that kids would love to spend hours and hours watching YouTube clips, and in fact they often do, and parents are often concerned first and foremost about their child's safety, and second about the addictive potential. We know as adults it's often really easy to start looking at, you know, a simple video online and quickly see something else that captivates our attention in the menu or the choices around that video. So one thing I recommend for parents to keep kids safe and also to ensure that they have limits and parameters. Remember, one of the key messages is all about having boundaries around our kids' screen time. So one of the practical ways that we can implement that is to use in YouTube, we can either use the YouTube app and create playlists for our children. So you could curate 6 episodes of Sesame Street that's appropriate for your child, and they're allowed to watch 3 of those episodes today. In module 6, I'll talk about why giving specific quantities of episodes is a really helpful tip when managing kids' screen time. You can also turn on the safe search option. This enables the safety mode in YouTube. So there are 2 options that you can use if you're just using the YouTube app. However, this is a brilliant app called Kids Video, Kids YouTube Playlist, and it is a freemium app, so you can download the app for free, but if you do, it has pop-up advertisements in it. If you don't want the pop-up advertisements in this app, you need to pay for the app, but it's a relatively inexpensive app. Using this app, you can actually curate your own playlists for your child. So let's say your child had a real interest in this example here in Dr. Seuss books, you could curate a list of Dr. Seuss videos. I know we used this app when my son was particularly interested in diggers. We created a playlist of some diggers. His interest then went towards sea animals, so we created a playlist of sea animal videos. So the idea is that you create videos that you know are suitable for your child's age and or of interest to them, and you can create various playlists, obviously. The advantage of using the Kids Video app is that you can obviously control the type of content that your child has access to, but it also enables you to restrict the comments that are usually displayed underneath videos in YouTube, because we often know this is where some inappropriate language and commentary is often included. So within this app, it stops that from happening. And it can also put a finite limit on the number of videos that your child wants to consume. And we'll talk a little bit later on about the unboxing videos and why young children find those why they become so obsessive with those types of videos. We've also got in Australia, the ABC Kids iView, and across the world, there are video streaming apps now where the commercial television stations are allowing you to access children's television shows on tablet devices. So these are usually safer platforms. They often don't contain advertisements, but there is a very strong addictive potential because the shows literally go on and on and on. So again, coming back to that idea at the beginning of this workshop, that kids need parameters, really firm parameters. And with things like consuming television shows, it's really easy to specify a precise amount. And we'll revisit this again in module 6 when we look about managing tablet time. And we've also got more interactive ways for children to consume content. So in this example here in the ShapeLab app, children are basically learning, consuming information about 2D shapes, but they're doing it in an engaging and interactive way. They're part of the interactive experience. So it's not just sit and tap on a square, it's drawing the square. It's then recognizing shapes in real life objects. So it's a much more immersive and engaging way for children to learn. With the advent of augmented reality, we're also seeing differences in or new ways for children to consume information. So using this particular app, children scan what's an ordinary looking sound card. So it just has, in this instance here on the screen on the left, there's a card that has the letter M on it and has the word monkey. But when you hover your device's camera over it, a 3D looking avatar or an augmented reality monkey pops up on the screen. So we're seeing changes, and this type of technology will change greatly in the future and provide new opportunities and ways for children to consume information. So the second type of app that young children can use, and one of the benefits, is that the iPad gives children a really powerful tool to create digital content. And this is where we want children spending most of their time when they're using the iPad. This is distinctly different to when they're simply consuming on the iPad. And when children create digital content, and I'll give you some examples in a moment, they're engaging in higher order thinking skills. They're problem solving. They're using language. They're often communicating and evaluating what they've created. So where possible, we want children, and often it can be very young children. There's a misconception that creation apps are only suitable for older children. I've seen very young preschoolers using creation apps as well. So when children create using this particular app called Book Creator, children can create multimedia books. So in this instance, children can insert photographs, they can draw pictures, they can add a voice recording, they can add text, and they can collate this at the end into a multimedia book that they can either save on their device or send a link to other people. And this is a really powerful tool for young children. Families often use this to get children to create a digital book of a holiday or when a new family member or a family pet is introduced. It's a great solution to all of your digital photos that you have on your device that you never get around to printing. Another great app is Kids Flashcard Maker. So using this app, children create their own multimedia flashcard. So in the example on the screen here, my oldest son Taj was, we created a slideshow or some flashcards about his morning routine. So using this app, you can embed photographs, you can embed text, you can record your voice over the word or the keyword that relates to your flashcard. And in the top right-hand corner, there is also the option to embed a video. And this can be a video that you create. So I've seen this being used in classrooms with young children where children created their own multimedia flashcards about an insect that they'd been researching. So they'd still been out in the garden, they'd been using magnifying glasses, and they looked at various insects in their natural environment. They then went and did some research. So they'd read real books, they did some Google searches, they collated as much information as they could. And then in the top right-hand corner, their video this time was a David Attenborough-style video where they provided an information report about everything they knew about that animal, that insect. So we've got really powerful tools to get children to actually create, and very young children, create digital content. This is a fun app that children like using as well. So this app turns any photograph into a talking photograph, as this example shows you.
Hello, I'm a princess fairy. I have long hair, blue eyes, and bright red lips like blood.
The good thing with this particular app is that it places a limit of 30 seconds on the video recording. Now, you can download apps, similar sort of apps that have a longer recording, but this really teaches the power of being succinct to children. And again, it's developing their language skills. So in this example, children's drawings, their artworks came to life. I've seen the family dog have a voice and photographs of dad be animated as well. So getting kids to create meaningful content. Telegami is a brilliant app, and this is an example. We'll talk later on about the types of apps, but this is an example of a freemium app. So you get the basic app for free, but if you want extra backgrounds or extra embellishments to use with the app, so you want different hair choices or different clothes choices, you do have to upgrade to the paid version. So using this app, it lets you create avatars, and avatars are these characters that look like they've got they're all digital characters, and children today are seeing and using lots of avatars in a lot of the games they're playing. They create their own avatar, so this gets kids to create their own.
today in school. We learned about plants. Plants need lots of things to grow. Two of the things plants need are sunlight and time.
All plants need sunlight to make their own food.
Plants also need lots of time to grow big.
So using this particular tool, children are able to create their own avatar, so they can get the avatar to talk for them on their behalf, or they can record their voice that the avatar will then speak. And again, a great way for children to deliver information, and a powerful and simple way. The finished product is quite easy for children to create. This is Glogstar is a relatively new app, and this app is basically your poster that we all had to create when we were in school, the project poster, but it's the digital version. So using this app, children are given various templates to select from, and then once they've selected their template, there is the option for children to insert photographs, to embed videos, and to add text and other multimedia elements as well. So in this example here, we've got some children who wrote up a report about a field trip that they'd been on, an excursion, and they embedded photographs, they embedded videos, and they wrote up some factual information as well. This is a great way for children to deliver what we call multimodal information. So it's a very powerful tool. So you can see in all these creation examples, children are very actively involved. They're often using language. There is a lot of onus on the child's behalf to come up with the content. It's very different to the types of apps where children in the consumption, where children are very passive. So there's a very distinct cognitive difference. So the next type of app, the third type, is communication apps. And communication apps are apps that facilitate, obviously, communication. And these, one of the benefits that we know, the neuroscience very clearly tells us that language builds children's brains. The neuroscience calls it serve and return interaction, or more colloquially, we're calling it ping pong interaction. And we know that this type of back and forth interaction is really critical for young children's brain development, and also for their language development as well. So we've got some clear research that tells us that very popular video chat technologies like Skype and FaceTime are really, really powerful for developing children's language and relationship skills. Here we have a screenshot of my grandma, and this was Grandma Jones. And Grandma and Grandpa Jones decided to move to the Gold Coast around the age of 90. And when Grandma moved to the Gold Coast, her friend started to tell her about this new invention called Skype. Now, Grandma Jones had left the workforce when the latest technology was liquid paper on her typewriter. So the idea of Skype on her computer was really exciting to Grandma Jones, and she wholeheartedly embraced it. So this was Grandma Jones having her, it was usually weekly or fortnightly conversation with my son, who was about 15 months at the time. And they used to get on Skype, and they could obviously see each other, and they would sing songs and nursery rhymes. Here's Tash singing, in this example, Grandma Jones, they were playing Simon Says. So Simon was telling Tash to put his hands on his head. They would read books together, sing songs and lullabies, and it was a really powerful experience. Now, I have to tell you, in full disclosure, I told Grandma Jones that I'd taken a screenshot of this experience and I wanted to use it in presentations. And Grandma Jones told me she was perfectly okay for that to happen, but I needed to apologize when I shared it. She actually asked me to send her the screenshot via text message. She became quite tech savvy after she got introduced to Skype. And I asked her if it was okay if I used it. And she said that it was fine if I used this screenshot so long as I apologized. If she knew she was going to be screenshot, she would have had her hair set and put some lipstick on. So I am sharing that on behalf of Grandma Jones. We've got really exciting innovations in terms of getting kids to communicate in real time within apps. The Kindoma company have made, at this stage, two really exciting apps. And this particular app is a book app, but it's a book app with a difference. It has two pop-up chat, video chat windows. So you, if you travel for work, or if you've got family members overseas, if you want to engage in a real book experience in real time, you can now do it with this app and see each other. When you highlight one part of your screen, the other person's screen is highlighted. If you zoom in, for example, here we've got the, looks like the Three Pigs house. When you zoom in on the Three Pigs house, you can see what's happening on the other person's iPad, the corresponding action occurs. So this is a really meaningful way for that ping pong interaction to occur. Again, this is distinctly different to children passively sitting there and watching YouTube clips. They're actively involved, they're using language, so it's a much more active and cognitively robust activity. The fourth and final advantage and benefit of using apps is that it provides opportunities for children to collaborate. And meaningful interactions, as I mentioned before, these ping pong interactions are really ripe way and a really beneficial way for children to learn. So we've got very popular apps like Google Apps that allow children to be creating content simultaneously. So this is basically a word processing document, but the advantage of this is that you can have multiple people working on it. You can edit documents in real time. So you can have children collaborating and creating content simultaneously. Here's another app by that company, Kindoma, and this time we've got a drawing tool with video chat capacities. So in this example, you can both see each other, and that face time, that real face contact, that eye contact is really critical for young children. So this app is providing a drawing tool, but with that video chat capability. So if parents are traveling or family members are living overseas, we can have these meaningful opportunities to collaborate and to create content. So hopefully you can see from the four examples, there are distinct advantages of each. It's important to reiterate that consumption apps are not necessarily bad. We just need to use them sparingly. The problem, or one of the potential problems with consumption apps, is that they promote that very passive way of learning. And it's not the ideal use of the iPad all of the time. A little bit every now and then is fine. What we really want children doing is to be creating, to be communicating, and to be collaborating. That's where we really start to see the iPad being used as a tool. And that's what we want children doing. Again, in an ideal world, most of the time. So in this final part of the module, I want to talk to you about some practical ways to ensure that your child actually benefits. I've just outlined some of the benefits for children, but how can you actually ensure that your child benefits from using the iPad? I'm going to share some simple habits and strategies to make sure that it's productive and efficient use of the time. In Module 5, we'll look at some of the habits that will ensure that your child's using the device in a healthy way in terms of their physical use. So we'll focus in then on their eye health, their posture, and their hearing. And in Module 6, we'll also start to look at practical tips in terms of managing screen time or the tablet time. But for now, I want to focus in on what you can do to make sure your child benefits from using the iPad. And the first strategy is where possible, and I say this as a mum, I understand it's not always possible to sit down, lie down and use the iPad, but when you can, co-view. Using the iPad, and in fact any technology with your child, is really beneficial. It stops what I call the zombie effect, the digital zombie effect, where your child's using a screen and they're completely oblivious to what's going on around them. When children co-view, we've got research evidence that tells us that it boosts their language skills and it often leads to better learning outcomes. Children are making meaning from what they're seeing on the screen. It can also develop a physical closeness and it strengthens the bond between a parent and a child. So when you can and where feasible, co-view, use the technology with your child. Now that's not always possible. I know I'm often cooking dinner and my kids are watching an episode on the iPad, TV episode, or they're creating something on the iPad. If it's not possible, simply ask your child questions whilst they're using it or after they've used it. It's really important that it's not just idle time, that they're making meaning and using it in an effective and productive way. So the second strategy is to focus on what your child's doing. Now, we're going to look later on in this workshop about how much time children should be spending with an iPad, but we really need that. The how much question is certainly important, but more importantly, I think, is focusing on what. What are they doing on the iPad? Are they creating? Are they consuming? Are they collaborating and communicating? Really need to focus on what it is that children are doing when they're using these devices. And I've given you some suggestions, but as we know, the app market is very dynamic, so there are constantly new and improved apps being made available. So how do we keep up to date? I recommend two apps for parents. For parents of 0 to 8 year olds, KinderTown is a brilliant app. It's an app that, so these are, believe it or not, apps for finding apps, but the KinderTown app is curated by educators. So educators look and review children's apps designed specifically for 0 to 8 year olds. So you can go in and read their reviews. Sometimes there are some videos, summaries as well, that you can look at before you purchase the app. The Kids Media app is every parent's essential app. It is imperative that parents have access to this app. Using this app, parents can look for apps for children aged 0 to 18 years, and you can look for subject-specific or age-specific apps. Using this app, though, you can also, it goes beyond just looking at apps. It also provides you with information about the latest television shows, video games, movies, websites. So it's all children's media. And again, the technologies are reviewed by experts in the field. So it's an essential app for parents to download. And in Australia, we've also got the Australian Council on Children and the Media. They have a Know Before You Load app review service. And this provides descriptions of the features of apps, and they highlight areas which parents may need to be concerned about. The reviews are prepared by qualified child development professionals. So it's another starting point. So these are basically, if you're looking for a specific app, where you might go. Again, focusing in on the content, looking at what children are doing as opposed to just how much time they're spending with the device, and finding content that is engaging and relevant for your child and their interests. My third tip for getting the most out of your iPad and making sure your child benefits is trying, as I've mentioned before, getting them to create more than they're consuming. We know from the evidence that children's language and higher order thinking skills are improved when they're creating. So a little bit of consumption is fine, but we don't want it to be the only thing children are using. Fourth is to establish, and we'll go through this in more detail in module 6, but is to establish really firm boundaries about not only what, so have firm boundaries about the content your child can access on the iPad. When can they access it? Where can they access it, and why? And with whom can they use it? So it's really important to create what I call a media management plan. And there's a copy of this in this workshop that you can download, of course, for free. And really important that we focus on coming up with these boundaries first and foremost, but then actually enforcing them. And we'll dig deeper into this in a later module. I touched on this throughout this module as well, looking for really simple design. Too often app developers, remember, aren't necessarily educators, so they don't know, you know, the best learning principles. And in fact, in the next, in module 4, I'm going to look at what criteria makes a good quality app. What should you be looking for? But really, when it comes to children's apps, look for simple design. When there's too much competing information, when there's animations and there's sound effects and there's a lot of text on the screen, it causes what we call cognitive overload. And children can't process all this extraneous information. And often, younger children or lower achieving children, the research tells us, they focus on the superfluous. They focus on the non-essential parts. So instead of learning about their times tables, if that's what the app's focusing on, what they'll recall afterwards is the animated character that swung through the air when they got an answer correct. So really important that we look for simple, clean design for children, and often looking for apps where there's the capacity to turn off or at least turn down the background music, apps where you can disable particular parts of the screen too. And number six is to look for apps that provide new ways of learning and playing. We have to really avoid what I call the digital worksheet apps. If the app is merely just a replica of what a child would have done in a maths textbook, or if it's just a replica of what they do with traditional blocks, there's really no value add. We need to find apps that transform how children learn and play. So we need apps that allow for new and different and improved ways for children to do these things. There's a term that's called chocolate-covered broccoli, and I didn't create this term, but we all know kids are great broccoli detectors. You can put it in spaghetti in a pureed form and they almost will still seem to find it. And our kids are really good at detecting broccoli. If they know this is just an app that's teaching them letters, but it's wrapped up in a game, they'll often disengage. So we have to be really, really mindful that we're not wrapping games around, worksheet type apps. They want to be meaningfully engaged. And we'll look at this again in module four when it comes to criteria for quality apps. We really need to move beyond what I call the digital worksheet app. This is really just a worksheet that's been digitalized. So this is really low levels of engagement. They can have a place if your child's learning basic concepts and skills, or if they need to consolidate, if your child's struggling with a particular area, then sometimes the digital worksheet app has its place. But again, we need to use them sparingly, and we need them to not be the only thing that children are doing on an iPad, because these types of apps promote lower order thinking skills. I can tap and eventually get the right answer. I don't have to invest very heavily cognitively. So there we have my six tips for ensuring your child actually does benefit from the iPad. In the next module, we're going to look at how do we prevent accidents? How do we set the device up before, or if we've already handed it to our children, how do we make it safe and prevent some possible digital dilemmas that can occur on the iPad.